Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, The Appearance of Shukadev Goswami. Verse 22 and 23. Ashrutya, tad, rishi, gana, vacha, parikshet, samam, madhu, chod, guru, chavyalikam, abhashatainan, abhinandya, yuktan, shushrushamanash, charitani, Vishnu. Ashrutya tad rishi gana vacha parikshet.
Ashrutya tad rishi gana vacha parikshet.
Samam maruchud guru chavyalikam.
Samam maruchud guru chavyalikam.
Abhashatainan abhinandya yuktan. Shushrushamanash charitani Vishnu. Ashrutya. Just after hearing. Tat. That. Rishigana.
The sages assembled.
Vacha. Speaking. Parikshet. Maharaj Parikshet. Samam, impartial, Madhuchut, sweet to hear,
Guru,
grave, cha, also, Avyalikam, perfectly true, Abhashata, said, Enan, all of them, Abhinandya, congratulated, Yuktan, appropriately presented, Shushrushamana,
being desirous to hear,
Charitani, activities of Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. Translation: all that was spoken by the great sages was very sweet to hear, full of meaning, and appropriately presented as perfectly true. So after hearing them, Maharaj Parikshit, desiring to hear of the activities of Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, congratulated the great sages. So there is no purport here. Let me read verse 23. Samagata sarvata eva sarve vedayata murti darastri prishte nehatana mutra cha kashchanarta rite paranugraham atmashilam. Translation: the king said, O great sages, you have all very kindly assembled here, having come from all parts of the universe. You are all as good as supreme knowledge personified, who resides in the planet above the three worlds,
Satyaloka. Consequently, you are naturally inclined to do good to others, and but for this, you have no interest either in this life or in the next. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Six kinds of opulences, namely wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation, are all originally the different attributes pertaining to the Absolute Personality of Godhead. The living beings, who are part and parcel entities of the Supreme Being, have all these attributes partially, up to the full strength of 78%. In the material world, these attributes, up to 78% of the Lord's attributes, are covered by the material energy, as the sun is covered by a cloud. The covered strength of the sun is very dim compared to the original glare. And similarly, the original color of the living beings with such attributes becomes almost extinct. There are three planetary systems, namely the lower worlds, the intermediate worlds, and the upper worlds. The human beings on Earth are situated at the beginning of the intermediate worlds. But living beings like Brahma and his contemporaries live in the upper worlds, of which the topmost is Satyaloka. In Satyaloka, the inhabitants are fully cognizant of Vedic wisdom, and thus the mystic cloud of material energy is cleared. Therefore, they are known as the Vedas personified. Such persons, being fully aware of knowledge, both mundane and transcendental, have no interest in either the mundane or transcendental worlds. They are practically desireless devotees. In the mundane world, they have nothing to achieve. And in the transcendental world, they are full in themselves. Then why do they come to the mundane world? They descend on different planets as messiahs, by the order of the Lord, to deliver the fallen souls. On the earth, they come down and do good to the people of the world in different circumstances, under different climatic influences. They have nothing to do in this world, save and except reclaim the fallen souls rotting in material existence, deluded by material energy. Samagata sarvata eva sarve vedayata murti durastri prishte nehatana mutra cha kaschanarta rite para nugraham atmashilam. The king said, O great sages, you've all very kindly assembled here, having come from all parts of the universe. You are all as good as Supreme Knowledge personified, who resides in the planet above the three worlds, Satyaloka. Consequently, you are naturally inclined to do good to others, and but for this, you have no interest, either in this life or in the next. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharya Niravishesha Shunyavadi Vastitya Deshtarya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaiti Gadadha Shivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakapatrubhyascha kripas hindubhyevacha paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. So, great sages, we read two verses in which they express their appreciation for Maharaj Parikshit in different ways. His great spiritual advancement, his being a very advanced devotee of the Lord, and displaying, as a result of that, displaying so many very nice qualities, as did his forefathers, particularly his fathers, the Pandava brothers, or grandfathers, the Pandava brothers. And in the one verse, the verse which we read, the Sanskrit of, which didn't have a purport, it was said, the verse said, that when these great sages spoke, it was very nice. It was very nice that everything they spoke was very sweet to hear. Plus, it was full of meaning. It wasn't just some flowery, colorful words of, you know, presented by some expert poet or such a person, but it was full of meaning also. Plus, on top of that, it was presented very appropriately, very suitably, in terms of time, place, circumstance, audience, and it was just the whole presentation. For people to be able to present like that, they have to be very spiritually advanced devotees. Otherwise, they may say something which, even though it may be true, it may not be sweet to hear, may not be attractive, and even if it's relevant to you or even important to you, but because it's not presented sweetly or perhaps appropriately, suitably, then even though it may be full of meaning, but your mind and intelligence, just by the way in which it's presented, may not feel inclined to accept it, and may feel like rejecting it, or feel like arguing against it. In the conditioned state, this is very common. It's very common for people who are in a conditioned condition. Yeah. That things have to be presented in certain ways, and if they're not, then the people, just because of their mentality, their emotional condition, and so on, they will just not feel inclined to accept it, and they will not accept it, and it's all lost, really, or to a large extent it's lost. But these great sages, because they're such extraordinary transcendental personalities, then what they said was very sweet to hear. It was just like nectar that you can't wait to hear more. Plus it was full of meaning. Plus it was presented so suitably in terms of the audience, the circumstances, and so on like that. And therefore Maharaj Parikshit, having heard what they said, we only read two verses, surely they actually said more, actually. But because it was just so done in that way, then Maharaj Parikshit congratulated them and glorified them and expressed appreciation, which he's starting to do in this other verse we just read. So, this verse 23, then, he is acknowledging their position, And you know, it's a very interesting point in Krishna consciousness and just in life, really, but particularly in Krishna consciousness, that as people become more spiritually advanced, they become more able to present things in these ways. And we saw that with Srila Prabhupada, that there were a few occasions at least that Srila Prabhupada was preaching to some people, and he told them that actually you're just like dogs. And because of, you know, his transcendental potency and just that transcendental intelligence and very devotional and loving way, ultimately, that he presented it, the people agreed, yes, you're right. And they didn't get become angry and walk out or something of that sort. This naturally happens as devotees advance. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the description, and I think it's the Antya Leela. Lord Chaitanya's in Jagannath Puri, and Sanatana Goswami comes, and Sanatana Goswami, anyway, it's a quite a sort of involved situation, but basically, well, Sanatana Goswami arrived and he had a terrible skin condition because he had walked or run even from Bengal and maybe even from Ramakeli itself, which is way up in northern Bengal. Anyway, from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, at the very least it's 500 kilometers, and he walked very quickly, ran, and just was completely, he just didn't bother about physical considerations, what to eat, what to drink, to bathe. I mean, he bathed, but where to bathe and in what, how is the water and how are all these facilities. So he bathed in dirty water, and as a result he got this very unpleasant skin condition. And one day he was staying in a certain part of Jagannath Puri town, and Lord Chaitanya was somewhat on the other side. And one day, Sanatana Goswami went to see Lord Chaitanya, but instead of taking the direct route across town, and it's not a big town, the direct route for him would have gone straight down the main street, which is the very, very big street called Grand Road now, on which they hold the Rath Yatra. It's just very big, wide, wide street for that purpose. So normally you just walk down that street, which takes you right past the front entrance of the Jagannath Temple, then on a little further, and Lord Chaitanya's place was on the left, just down there, not far, past the main entrance. But this day, it was a very hot day in summer. Sanatana Goswami, he arrived at Lord Chaitanya's place, and Lord Chaitanya saw that Sanatana Goswami on his feet, there are blisters. How could it be? And he asked Sanatana Goswami what happened. Sanatana Goswami said, yes, well, I walked along the beach and around, which, if you know the geography of the place, it's really quite a long way around. And I walked on the beach, and the sand was very hot, and my feet got burnt, and so I've got blisters. And Lord Chaitanya asked him, why? Why take that route? Why not just walk straight down past the entrance of the temple? And Sanatan Goswami said, well, I have these sores, oozing sores. Very. It was really quite extreme, actually. All over his body. And the priests in the Jagannath temple, because in the Jagannath temple, there are many priests. There's maybe hundreds. And they come and go all the time doing this and that and getting things. And so they're going in and out of the temple all the time. And Sanatana Goswami said, my body is so contaminated. If I walked past the entrance and somehow one of those priests brushed against me, he would get some of the very unpleasant discharge from the sores on his body. And then either he might not know, and then he'd go and serve the deity, and that would be an offense, because I would have contaminated him. And he would have then served the deity in a contaminated condition without knowing it. Or he would have seen that he's become contaminated and he'd have to go and take a bath and change his clothes and so on and so forth and then come back. And that would be an offense. So therefore I took the long way where I wouldn't, there would be no risk of bumping, literally bumping into anyone. And here I am. But I had to walk on the beach. My feet got blistered. And for Sanatana Goswami, that didn't matter. What mattered was that he didn't commit any offenses. And any personal inconvenience in that regard just doesn't matter at all. So then Lord Chaitanya spoke a fairly well-known verse that you, Sanatana Goswami, you are just the authority on Vaishnav etiquette. And Lord Chaitanya spoke two or three verses about Vaishnav etiquette, how devotees act, things they avoid doing and things they very specifically do. And Lord Chaitanya said, if a devotee does not observe the Vaishnav etiquette, the proper standards of behavior, then people laugh at him. Yeah? People laugh at him, and he becomes like a laughing stock, just some sort of clownish character. Whereas the observance of the Vaishnav etiquette, it is like the ornament of the devotee. It decorates the devotee. And the devotee, of course, being decorated, the devotee becomes very beautiful and attractive and wonderful simply through maintaining those standards of conduct and avoiding those non-Vaishnav types of conduct. And the thing is, there are two things. One is that for people who are coming from other backgrounds and for whom Vaishnav culture and etiquette is not something they've really been brought up with, and for that matter, even people who have been brought up as sort of Vaishnavs, but not really proper Vaishnavs, then we should try to learn it. We should actually try to learn it. Learn how to conduct ourselves. And learn how not to conduct ourselves. And be careful. That's one thing. But the other thing is that whether a devotee learns it or not, or was brought up in this way or that, or even just brought up in a completely materialistic way, but as devotees advance, then they gradually, more and more, start to naturally conduct themselves in those ways, just spontaneously, without having to think, what should I do? How should I do this? Like that. It just becomes their natural sort of modus operandi, or just the normal way of conducting themselves. Because their dormant Krishna consciousness within the heart is starting to rise and is, you know, some aspects, some elements of it are actually beginning to manifest in real terms. So therefore these sages, they just presented everything so nicely that Maharaj Parikshit, he also being of the same character, he felt like congratulating them and thanking them. You know, you could always say, well, you're going to die. Too bad. Rather you than me. Good luck. Or something. I don't know what. They say, you know, this, I am strong, this is a sort of a saying, I am strong-willed, you are stubborn, and you are pig-headed. Are you familiar with this? It's three ways of saying the same thing, but just three different ways. I am strong-willed, but you are stubborn. You're actually strong-willed also, but because it's you and not me, you are stubborn. And him, he's also strong-willed, but because it's him, he's pig-headed. You follow? Yeah. Yes, as I think is it a bumper sticker? Or somebody said that someone who is, you know, of such character can even tell a person to go to hell in such a way they look forward to the journey. Hare Krishna. So anyway, that's just, I found it an interesting little point. And another thing, in the second verse, Maharaj Parikshit congratulating them, thanking them, appreciating them, simply for being there, and on one hand, but really for having expressed themselves just so nicely. He says, you are all as good as supreme knowledge personified, which could be taken to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then he says, who resides in the planet above the three worlds, Satya Loka? So it would appear he's referring to Saraswati, the wife of Lord Brahma, who is the goddess, demigoddess of knowledge, and of speech. End of speech. Yeah. Or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is, you know, a related point to what we were just saying, that as a devotee advances, then he or she, whenever they present something, then, particularly when they're very advanced like these great sages, then it's just the same as if the Supreme Personality of Godhead said it. It's probably what he would have said if he had been present to say it. And the way in which it's said is like that same mood. And that's, again, what happens as people become spiritually advanced, and particularly when they are on the level of these great sages and saintly people who had gathered there when they heard Maharaj Parikshit was going to leave this world. Yes. And what they say, it becomes faultless, because it's upheld and ultimately it's coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we know in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Lord Krishna says, 15:15, well, you know everything. Someone else? Any Bhakti Shastris here? Tell us, put us out of our misery. Very nice. Krishna says, I'm situated in everyone's heart. From me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. I mean, that's the main part in regard to this. But then he goes on to say that, what does he say? By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the knower of the Vedas and the compiler. Veda Vid, the knower of the Vedas. Vedanta Krid. Yeah. Compiler of Vedanta. Anyway, in this regard, Krishna supplies knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness in terms of the condition of the person involved. And when the person is a great sage and great devotee like these great devotees, then Krishna supplies amazing knowledge so that they just speak and it's all just transcendentally perfect and wonderful. It's coming from Krishna. Why? Because of who they are. Because their consciousness, their desires to speak something is so pure and just faultless and perfect. Krishna supplies faultless, pure, perfect knowledge. So, yes. So anyway, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that the living beings Krishna has the six opulences, wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Beauty, yeah, six opulences. And the living beings have up to, Prabhupada says, up to the full strength, means, you know, that's as much as they can have, of 78%. What do you think that means? Does that mean they have 78% of the qualities as much as Krishna has? Meaning, you know, they have 78, if there's 100 qualities, they have 78 of them. But as much as Krishna has those 78? No. No. There's actually 64 qualities. And they can have, I mean, in a general sense, 64 is described in Nectar of Devotion. And the living beings can have up to 78% of those, of the 64. And certain of them they actually cannot have at all, but up to 78% of the 64 in minute quantity. Oh yes, oh yes, in minute quantity. But 78% of the 64, whatever that may be, yeah. When a devotee is very, very advanced in Krishna consciousness, then they will display that 78% very nicely as much as they are able. As much as they're able. But, as Prabhupada makes the point here, that when the living entity falls into the material world, these qualities become covered just like what phenomenon? They become covered just like
the sun covered by a cloud.
That's right. Those of us here who have sun-sensitive skin know the difference between being in the summer sun and being outside when it is like totally overcast. There's a big difference in the experience of the sun. Very big difference. So, Prabhupada's using the example, which, you know, is a certainly a nice example, suitable example. And, you know, so the sun then, its potency as experienced on the ground becomes reduced substantially. And so the living entities, when they're covered by Maya, their 78% qualities become covered substantially. But even they may become covered very substantially, like in the example of trees, plants, where the capacities of consciousness to think and evaluate and use intelligence and express oneself, it's covered. That's the problem for the tree. The problem why the tree cannot manifest intelligence, etc., is simply because of the covering. And then they also cannot manifest certain of the symptoms of life, like to be able to move around and do things. They're just stuck in one place. So that means that the natural qualities of the soul have been covered so much that they're alive. All you can say is they're alive. They're not dead. They are alive. But other than that, they don't manifest much at all, if anything. And even we understand that living entities, if they become too sinful, they can be thrown out of the 8,400,000 species of life and enter into forms like stones, where the qualities of the soul are actually not manifest totally. Not manifest at all. And we are told that when Srila Prabhupada heard the hippie term getting stoned, if you don't know what that means, very good. But when he heard that, because in those days it was such one of the most popular terms, we are told Srila Prabhupada made reference that they through engaging in this sinful activity so enthusiastically, they may well end up in the body, in stone bodies, where the natural characteristics of the living entity are totally covered. Not just like when it's a cloudy day, or even a very stormy cloudy day like that, where there's a lot of cloud, but just totally finished for the time being. Yes. So So then these great sages, Maharaj Parikshit is congratulating them and glorifying them and appreciating them. And one point of appreciation he's making is that you are such people that you have no interest in living in this material world. You just don't want to be here. You'd rather be in the spiritual world. So why do you come? Why are you actually here now? It's only, there's no reason except you are naturally inclined to do good for others. Means, give them Krishna consciousness, not just be materially charitable or something of that sort, but actually help the conditioned souls by giving them Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, why would you be here? Why on earth would you be here? So this is the case. This is the case, of course, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead also. Why does he come? Why would he bother? Does he want to go and lie on Battery Beach and get a suntan? Why would he come? For none of those reasons. Take a break from Goloka Vrindavan. See how the other side lives. No. It's simply to do good. Otherwise, this is a hellish realm. Prabhupada makes an interesting point here. The human beings on earth are situated at the beginning of the intermediate worlds. Isn't that interesting? If we take that at face value, it means just at the beginning of the intermediate worlds means just out of the lower worlds. Just made it. Not hellish. But it's, you know, intermediate means there are some nice things to some degree. Yes. So why would these people come? Krishna, the great sages, why on earth bother? They have much better things to do and much better places to do. They're things. They only come to do good for the fallen conditioned souls. And for us, as aspiring devotees, would-be's, wannabes, aspiring devotees, then we should understand that for us to make progress, to actually start advancing and make some more substantial advancement, this sort of attitude we have to cultivate. It's really a foundational part, essential foundational part of making advancement. That we actually cultivate the mood and carry out the activities of doing good for the people in general. In other words, and in this Kali Yuga, the process is Sankirtan Yajna. The process is not just to sit in a quiet place and chant Hare Krishna. I mean, you know, it's in the same sort of ballpark, but actually the process is the Sankirtan Yajna. Yajyai Sankirtana Prayer. Yajanti hi sumedasa, Srimad Bhagavatam says, that intelligent people in this Kali Yuga will worship the Lord, Lord Chaitanya, through the performance of Sankirtan, which means the process of Kirtan, of taking it to the people, actually. That's what it means. Yes. And so we, as aspiring devotees who would like to make some progress and become Krishna conscious and go back to Godhead ultimately, then we should understand that this is very important, essential part of how we must adjust ourselves and our thinking and our lives and our activities. It's an essential part of what we must do in our lives in order to really make progress. Otherwise, you know, the sort of bhajananandi type of approach, it may not even be suitable to use the term really, but just, you know, a quiet life of chanting Hare Krishna, that sort of approach. But we're chanting Hare Krishna, so, you know, we're doing okay. But it's not really what is being talked about, what is intended in terms of what is the Yuga Dharma for the Kali Yuga. Actually, the Yuga Dharma is the sacrifice, Sankirtan Yajna, of spreading Krishna consciousness, which of course can be done in many different ways, but actually we need to do that and try and cultivate that consciousness, because that's the particular aspect of the nature and consciousness of these sages which Maharaj Parikshit is appreciating and glorifying them for. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes.
You spoke about Vaishnava etiquette.
Yes.
I've read from Network Devotion. It explains that the devotee advances and approaches Raghunath Bhakti and then Bhagavad Bhakti and further on. He loses the external attachment to rules and regulations and Vaishnava etiquette.
They're no longer just rules and regulations, just do this, don't do that. But he's just naturally acting in those ways. It's not like, now I don't care, let me insult some people, some other devotees, because I've made advancement now. No, not at all. And you see, in the case of Sanatan Goswami, you know, he's on that level, to say the least. But still he was careful, deliberately careful. Yeah. So just being beyond the rules and regulations doesn't mean either that you just stop acting in such ways. No, it includes that you naturally act in those ways. And it also doesn't mean that you stop caring about those things, or that you're no longer concerned about those things. You follow? Yeah. In some schools of thought, they actually think that when you become advanced, you can do things like eat meat again. You know, you gave it up through your sort of practicing phase. Now you've become advanced, so now you can eat meat again and take intoxication, etc. Because you're beyond these. You don't need to worry about rules and regulations because you transcended them. That is such a grievous misunderstanding. It's disaster. It's just a total disaster. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yes.
Any comments? Yes?
I have a question. with Vaishnava etiquette, there's like two categories. I mean, sorry, there's principles, like things that are very compulsory and important, and there's details. And sometimes amongst devotees, we start debating, oh, that's a small detail, don't worry about it, but that's a more important detail, you should worry about it. You know, how much should we like pay attention, or how important are the details? And you know, like one simple detail, you know, we should not eat with our left hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but somebody's maybe occupied with the right hand, so they'll eat with the left hand. And if you correct it, or if you are corrected, you'll go, well, what's the big deal? The principle is to eat prasadam and not, you know, and to accept it. So what's the big deal? So, you know, how cautious and attentive should we be to details?
Okay. Generally, we should be very conscious, definitely. There may be some sort of marginal situations of different types, sure. But what's required then is that the devotee should develop some intelligence to be able to discriminate and distinguish, and in that way apply things appropriately in terms of time, place, and circumstance. And if they're not, if they're not really equipped in knowledge and understanding, best they ask someone who is. Yeah. That's why the association of devotees, and particularly all devotees, but particularly senior devotees, is so important, because from more knowledgeable devotees you can get guidance how to deal with some, you know, maybe somewhat subtle situations, but to do things which are appropriate. Just like, you know, I mean, it wasn't a small situation, but, you know, when they caught Ashvatthama, earlier on, is it the 7th chapter or whatever it is? Anyway, there in the first canto, and there's this whole debate what to do with him. And you know, logical arguments are made for either letting him just go or killing him. And then in the end they settle for cutting his hair off. Yeah. Isn't it? Wasn't that it? Something, yeah. So it was such a situation. And I think it was a Krishna gave that. Anyway, I forget who gave that solution. But a solution was accepted after, you know, it was Rukmi whose hair was cut off. In like a very strange way. So it's like that, you know. We need the association of devotees, although as devotees advance, they naturally become more able to see, you know, where you can bend something, you know, properly, and where you shouldn't bend it. Like some devotees don't have right hands. I know one, at least, and that I can think of, devotee from St. Petersburg, Russia, really nice devotee. He lost his right hand. When he was a devotee, he lost his right hand. And so he chants, you know, with his left hand and everything. Anyway, is that okay?
I was just thinking, you mentioned Rukmini's head getting shaved off. It was considered killing him. It was such an embarrassment. But in today's world, people voluntarily cut their head off. A strange way shaving off here. They look forward to it.
Yeah, it's like that. You know, I was hearing Prabhupada, I was listening to Prabhupada the other day, telling the story of the man who's went to the ball and his dress jacket got ripped. And everyone thought, wow. So they started ripping. And everyone thought it was cool, but it was stupid. It was just, it was bad. But it's Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, people often think that things which are really bad are really good. Like having Mr. Trump for president. But maybe we shouldn't even mention that, It's just so amazing. Yes.
Just one last question. Is it true that preaching is higher than Vaishnava etiquette? Since we have heard also Prabhupada say to preach, you can even eat meat, it's fine. I'm just asking if it's is preaching higher than Vaishnava etiquette or Vaishnava etiquette higher than preaching? So can you just clarify?
Srila Prabhupada definitely never said that, to preach you can eat meat. No chance. You misheard. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, in order to preach to, I think, the Governor General or whatever he was, some very big man in India, said it would be okay to serve him meat, but nothing to do with the devotees eating meat. And I was personally present. I was personally present when a devotee asked Prabhupada a question: what if you're on a desert island and there's you and some animal, and there's just literally nothing to eat? Would it be all right to eat the animal? And Srila Prabhupada answered, that a devotee would rather die. So, preaching the Sankirtan Yajna is like the sort of umbrella that all other activities in Krishna consciousness are going on under, in a sense. So, if you decide to preach, if you preach according to Vaishnav etiquette, in a really nice Vaishnav mood, you'll be very successful. Prabhupada said, was it Srila Prabhupada? Yeah. That devotees will become known for being perfect gentlemen and gentle ladies. But if you preach in like a gross way, low class, ill-mannered, unpleasant way, I don't think you're going to get your preaching, I don't think your preaching is going to be very successful. Because people like, nice people like to be treated nicely. And they know it if they're not being treated nicely. And they don't like it. Yeah. So Vaishnava, we shouldn't think that Vaishnava etiquette is just, like a marginal consideration. It's not important. It's very important. It's very important. And if we preach in a very nice way in terms of dealing with people suitably and respectfully and, according to etiquette, our preaching will be very successful. Like in America, they got into, in the 70s, they got into a book distribution strategy, technique, called the change-up. Change-up means someone, they've got the book, now they're going to give some money, they're ready to give some money, and you say to them, look, I've got a lot of small money, can you give me a big note and I can give you change? And they think, oh sure, why not? And they give you a bigger note. you know, maybe they give you a 100 rand note, and you give them 10 rands back. The book should, you know, you should get maybe 20 rands for the book. They give you a 100 rand note, you give them 10 rand note back. Is that okay? You know, in terms of etiquette, that's a real non-etiquette way to deal with people. And they got so much into it, and it became so universal. And, you know, so many devotees out every day, hundreds and hundreds every day, doing it all day, that eventually the Hare Krishna movement became known in America as like this cheating, you know, conniving, dishonest type of organization, and the people were seen like that. And it's taken many years, you know, now the times have changed. But it took many years of devotees doing things in a much more etiquette type of way for the people to forget it and to see us as being sort of pious people, nice people, like that. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.